I have to start off with a disclaimer. Carl and I, and Carl is the other person on this presentation, we work for the NSF Center for Integrated Pest Management at NC State. We do a lot of work with APHIS and CS Reese of USDA, but we don't work for the feds, so I am not speaking for them. That gives me a lot of license, and I typically get in a lot of trouble. We do spend a lot of time in the development of technology solutions for complex information needs. But you won't see a lot of URLs on these pages and in this presentation, because a lot of the stuff that we do for the government is, in quotes, sensitive. That means that they don't want somebody putting a mustache on the president's face, or that somebody has said something embarrassing about a foreign minister of ag person. So it's not that it's really secret, it's that it might prove embarrassing. The other thing, when I get started here, please add the words "in theory" before every single sentence, every single statement I make. And this will keep us both out of trouble. A little bit of background. In the late 1990s, APHIS gave funds to the National Plant Board to do a study of APHIS's ability to safeguard American agriculture. That report was presented in July of 1999, and it had more than 300 recommendations. That's pretty scary. Most groups would have backed away from it and hid the report and never see the light of day again. But Rick Dunkel, who was the head of PPQ at the time, actually kind of took this on as a challenge. They developed a website, they put all the recommendations on the website, and they followed through. They had open comment for months and months. They developed response plans. They put those response plans online for public comment, and actually made some progress in a lot of areas. Many of the recommendations that were put forward dealt with information systems and modernizing the systems that APHIS was using to manage and assess risk. Now, I think I'm kind of preaching to the choir here, but obviously this is why. Now, and what I want to talk about, it obviously goes beyond insects. It goes beyond resistance management, but the problems are still the same. I suspect most of you have seen lionfish in an aquarium. Did you know there are now breeding populations off the coast of North Carolina? We're talking about invasives, and they can be invasive species, or they can be invasive biotypes, new resistance coming into the country. And this is how it comes in. It's not only the pests, but how do we find them? Which five containers in this one day's load at Miami Airport are you going to inspect? Because you've only got enough people to look at five containers or 10 containers. And do you really want to try and look at that container? Who's going to move it so that you can get to it? So we're really looking at ways to try and keep the risk overseas. I'm not going to read this. You can read it. The U.S. has a lot of miles of coastline and a lot of miles of borders. We have over 115 international airports, and you can see, 12 million passengers, 750,000 tons of freight, that's just by air. How do we even begin to stop a new pest from crossing the borders or a new biotype? We do have to look at ways to stop them overseas. And we're not alone. China shares its borders with 13 other countries. We do a lot of trading with China. And so if one of its border countries has it, there's a good chance China has it, and we're going to have it if we can't stop it. Even a small country, Uganda in Africa, has five neighbors, three border lakes, and a total sieve for a border. There is no such thing as a pest insect being in Kenya and not in Uganda. So we have a global issue. It's not simply a problem within the U.S. that we can tell other people, take care of your problems, we'll take care of ours. We have to work together. Protecting our nation borders from invasive pests, and I would say resistant pests, now requires that information not only be readily available and accessible from a variety of organizations, but that we find ways to trade that information, to share that information appropriately. And what I'd like to do here in the next few minutes is to talk about some of the work, and this is just a small part of the work that has been going on with APHIS and its cooperators to estimate and manage risk of exotic pests while also promoting trade. And this is a kicker. APHIS has to not only safeguard America, but they've also got to promote trade. Sometimes those two come in conflict. And of course, given today's markets, they've wanted to be able to increase their own efficiency. Really, it can happen. And the way that a lot of this has been done is with database-driven information systems that meet the need for storing, managing, analyzing, and disseminating pest information, pest data. Historically, each of these information systems has served a standalone function. And so you couldn't move from one to the other. You had information on this group of pests or information from this country here, and other information over here, and bringing them together was a significant problem. And so much of the effort that has been made has been in, one, in developing the systems, but then in linking them and sharing information appropriately so that we can recognize the potential for making use of this information. What do we need? Simple things. A list of the beasts you want to look at. And those might be species, they might be biotypes. But you've got to have something to focus on. You need historical information. You need information on new outbreaks. And then you need analysis of this information for risk assessments and for interdiction and management programs. And then you need to be able to communicate the results to appropriate individuals and regulatory officials in a reasonable time frame. If you're communicating information to them 2 months from now on an outbreak that's going on in Mexico, it's not going to help a whole lot. You need to know tomorrow if there are shipments coming up from Mexico. And then tools to actually use all of this information. A list of pests. Why do we need a list of pests? I mean, can't we just go out and look at anything that comes in? You know, international law requires that there be a rationale for excluding pests from our country and from other countries. You can't just say, we're not going to let you bring that commodity in because it's got these three species on it. You have to show that there is a risk of importation, and you have to document it by literature. So this list provides that kind of rationale. We also don't have the number of people that we need. APHIS, universities, government, companies never will have the number of people that you need to handle this kind of problem. So you need to be able to prioritize the need for different types of risk assessments. What commodities, what pests come to the top? And you need to target identification tools. Again, we can't develop all of the identification tools we need. We don't have enough taxonomists. We don't have enough skilled people to do this. And then certainly, bottom line is these kinds of lists and associated data can help focus port inspection operations. If they're only looking at 3 to 4, 5% of the cargo coming in, you have to know which ones to look at on the top of your list. So let's talk about some of the databases that are involved. Obviously, there are historically interception records from ports, but they're records only of, in quotes, actionable pests. That is, the pests we were really worried about. And that system is not yet dynamically linked with other databases, but it's there, and it's a gold mine of these are the things we should be worrying about because these are the things we're finding now and yesterday and last week. One of the recommendations of the plant board was that APHIS needed to have a single repository, historical repository, for pest information. Every program that developed had its own information system. Every risk assessment would start out from ground zero, looking for the same information. And so if you're looking at a commodity coming in from Mexico, and then that same commodity coming in from Brazil, you start right at the bottom again. So the decision was made to develop the Global Pest and Disease Database. Right now, this database has about 2,300 species in it. You fight a battle between getting depth of information about one species and being inclusive to have enough species for it to be useful. It's a multi-year effort, and currently there are 5 full-time content specialists. That's all they do is gather information. What's in the database? Everything you want or don't want to know. Taxonomy, distribution, hosts, biotypes, biology, control. As much as possible, all of the key documents, and this is a key point, whether that information is correct or not. You say, what? Tell me the correct name of an insect. Put 3 taxonomists in a room and try and get them to agree on the name of more than 5 species. It won't happen. So what you want is a system that has all of the names and has the citations that go to it that say, this is where we're saying this is, and this is equal to this, we think. But it also has information on distributions so that a pest might have been in another country or in our country, and it's been eradicated. But there is a scientific document that says it was in your country, and you get involved in trade negotiations, and if you don't have that document in your database and somebody springs it on you, huh? You can say, well, yes, we know that. That beast was in, I don't know, Brazil 3 years ago, but they eradicated it or was misidentified, and here's a citation of the person that says it was misidentified. So you have the full set of information. The database is restricted. The primary reasons for it being restricted are really threefold. One is that a lot of the information in this database was copied and pasted from other sources. We have a thing called copyright law in the United States. And if this were made public, we'd be shut down tomorrow. So this is a private database. 2, there are some draft documents, some sensitive documents that are also included here that it's just not appropriate to share with other countries or with folks not in the agency. But if you're interested, I'd be happy to show it to anybody. We have a lot of current databases, and I'm not going to talk about those because these deal with pests that are already in the U.S., and I'm trying to focus on those that we're worried about coming into the U.S. I think most everybody is familiar with the Cooperative Agricultural Pest Survey, known by the acronym CAPS, and the database behind it, NAPIS. There are also many, many databases within APHIS emergency programs. These are the programs like the boll weevil, citrus greening. You can go on. I'm sure you probably know more of them than I do. Almost every one of these has one or more independent databases, but there is an effort underway to have a unified system. I don't know if this will ever happen because it's complicated by all of these different programs with different database structures, with different kinds of information. It's a huge effort, but it is ongoing. How do we look at information in other countries? APHIS maintains an offshore pest information program. And that program takes information and has that information flow to experts who analyze the threat from new outbreaks and provide advice to APHIS and Customs and Border Patrol on appropriate responses. So you've got a database of very current information. You have individuals overseas that are collecting public information and putting it in the system so that it can be gathered, it can be reviewed, and seen, is this really a threat? There's a new outbreak of coco pod borer in Thailand. Does that impact us? It may not. Or that new rust that's on gladiolas in Mexico. How important is that? It might be important, it might not be, but we need to know about it, and we need folks that are familiar being able to assess it and have access to that information. The new pest advisory group uses information from the offshore pest information program and the global pest and disease database and other information sources to assess priorities and actions related to potential new threats. Again, no agency can respond to everything all the time, so you have to hit the big ones, the soybean rust, the Asian longhorn beetle, all the things we can't seem to control. And then there is the NAPA, North American Plant Protection Organization, pest alert system. This is the U.S.'s way of reporting pests to the IPPC. It is supposed to satisfy the U.S. obligation as a signatory of IPPC, but the IPPC says, no, it doesn't, and there are negotiations ongoing. That's another whole half-hour discussion. Now, I've already mentioned the Offshore Pest Information Program and the new Pest Advisory Group, but there are two more groups that help analyze emerging threats, and these are both within APHIS. EPICA, the Exotic Pest Information Collection and Analysis Group, and their database, and the PERIL, the Pest Epidemiology Risk Assessment Laboratory, which is the group that performs the scientific risk assessments for USDA. Both of these latter two groups have customized access to the Global Pest and Disease Database, OPIP, and I have all these, the Offshore Pest Information System and NPAG data. In turn, the Global Pest and Disease Database has dynamic access to the risk assessments, to new information from the Offshore Pest Information Program, and other APHIS documents. And these are all connected real time with each other, and they share information even though they're separate databases. So what can we do with all of these data? It's nice, we've got this world full of information. We can use those data for forecasting. We can tie that information to other action systems in port operations. And I'd like briefly to talk about a couple of these because I think they're really neat. APHIS has a lot of imports that get fumigated with methyl bromide and other materials. But in the past, the folks that did that work had to fill out forms longhand, had to look up the treatments in paper manuals. You know, well, I've got this commodity from this country, and it should have these pests, and this is how many hours and at what temperature I need to fumigate. And maybe because I get paid a lot of overtime, I might start treatments late in the day instead of first thing in the morning. So, you know, I have this other paperwork to do, and I'd finally get out there, and, oh, it's 4 o'clock, and this needs 6 hours of treatment. Well, I get 6 hours of overtime. Plus, we have to give all this information to EPA annually, so that's turned in on pieces of paper, and somebody's time is spent adding up all the figures and sending these reports into EPA.
Two minutes.
All right. So we started a system where the forms are now filled out. The time that the treatment started is gotten from a server. And all the way up the line, folks can know all the information about the treatments, and the person that's doing the treatment doesn't have to hunt it down. It's given to them, and they can make it happen. And I've got another story about cold treatment, but I don't have time to explain that. I'd be loved to tell you about the cold treatment programs on ships traveling over the seas. And then there are also lots of manuals online and other software. This is what the linkage looks like, very simplified. And believe it or not, APHIS PPQ is almost there. Many of these database systems already talk to each other seamlessly, and I've just mentioned that. Several of the systems actually talk to Customs and Border Patrol, that is, the inspectors at the ports can look at this information real time. All of the needed data are available, but the systems are not yet integrated with cargo manifests to allow science-based inspection priorities. So I'm going to ask all of you to think about a system that took the commodity and country of origin information, combined that with historic and current data on pests known to occur, on new biotypes, ranked these pests by risk assessments, prioritized cargo inspection by that ranking, linked that information with identification tools, and made it available to the inspectors right on site. Cargo to be inspected could be identified prior to offloading. So you say, I want to look at that cargo. So when you're offloading it, put it over here. I can tell you ahead of time. You don't have to go down through 1,000 containers. None of this has been done yet. APHIS, I think, is beginning to work on it. Maybe our new administration will change that. Are you listening, Obama? Anyway, if you want to learn more about any of this stuff, I'd be happy to talk with you, give you the names of people to contact to find out more about any of the programs. Thank you. Okay. One question? Boy, I did good.
I have a question. Who decides which are the important pests?
Actually, the pest lists were developed by each of the scientific societies and then combined. And then there's this list of targeted pests that was collectively put together from all of these pests with folks in APHIS and DHS.